Okay, I want to welcome everybody to the workshop. My name is Russell Spatz. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a member of AA. This is not an AA meeting, so you can put down your pens. You don't have to call up General Services or New York or Central Committee or the conference, whoever the hell you want to call up, who you think is important, you know, all that stuff. We're going to say a lot of stuff that's not conference approved. We're going to read your traditions, but we don't really follow them. So don't get all upset about that. And remember, whenever you're disturbed, no matter what the cause is, something wrong with you. So I'm going to do my best to try to disturb you for a little while. Everybody's going to get a chance to talk. We usually go for a couple of hours till 12 o'clock. Sometimes a couple of weeks ago, we went to one because we had a lot of people that wanted to. That's okay. I'm here for the hungriest person. I'm an AA. Or as a friend of mine once said, I don't know what fellowship you're in, but I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm available. And so this is what we do. So, you know, the bottom line is I got some readings for you. We're going to start the meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. Only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for any membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. A is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, and does not wish to engage in any controversies, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Okay, and in this group, it's customary, in this workshop customary, to say the fifth chapter like we read in all the meetings. So Jay's going to read how it works. Is that the deal?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Go ahead.
My name is Jay, and I'm an alcoholic. This is how it works from the fifth chapter of the Big Book. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. Many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. If there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge, for the will for us, and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed one in order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jay. And I think China is going to read the traditions.
Alcoholic China, tradition one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, AA should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, AA has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Okay, guys, so let's have some fun and maybe a little pain. Maybe a lot of pain. Who knows? Depends upon you. So as I said, my name is Russell. I'm an alcoholic. I'm 74 years old. This has come from Miami, Florida. We got people from all over the planet. I'm in my 43rd year of sobriety, and no big deal. But when all it means is I've gone through a lot of 43 years of repeated humiliations, the final crushing of my self-sufficiency, and I probably have a few more sufferings to go through. That's okay. That's okay. That's what makes you grow up and not become a baby and stay a baby. You don't want to stay a thumb-sucking crybaby. So this is sixth step. This is the step. This is the what we aim for in this workshop is we want to separate the men from the boys. This is the step. This is the grown-up time. So there's going to be some stuff you're going to hear in here that you're not going to like. That's good. Whenever you hear stuff you don't like, that's good. You know, you get a resentment, you grow up. So I'm here to disturb the comfortable and comfort the disturbed, and we'll see what we're going to do. And hopefully everybody will get a little something out of this deal. I'm going to do some readings. The readings, I promise you, are all founders approved, not necessarily conference approved. I don't know anybody in the conference. The conference took place in 1953, I think. The guy who was the longest sober guy was Bill Wilson, and everybody had less than 23 years, and nobody invited me to the conference. So, the God of my understanding, so that, you know, I'll familiarize yourself with my God, because there's a definition in the big book. It says there is one who has all power. That one is God. There is one. God's not a higher power. It's the highest power, because the big book tells me there is one who has all power. And I'll tell you, if you have the problems in the life and the stuff that's going on in my life, if you have that going on, you don't want to go to no higher power. You want to go to the highest power. And I figured out a long time ago that the group is not the group does not have all power, and my sponsor doesn't have all power. the conference didn't have all power. A, as a whole, the fellowship doesn't have all power. I mean, my God, the fellowship, it's, what is that? I said to my sponsor once, talking about the fellowship, he said, you're talking about, it's not exactly Well People's Anonymous. Yes. The United States doesn't have all power. Putin doesn't have all power. The world doesn't have all power. So I'm seeking the one who has all power. Because that one is God. And you're supposed to find him now. So I've looked at the 6th step, the 7th step, the 11th step, the steps. And I figure the way I understand the big book, it says each alcoholic in his own language from his own point of view is supposed to talk about how he developed his relationship with God. A mere code of morals. Good orderly direction, group of drunks, a mere code of morals, a better philosophy of life wouldn't save us, does not save us. Therefore, we wrote a book where, of course, we're going to talk about God. And here's where the problem arises with alcoholics. That's not me talking. That's not my opinion. That's the program talking. Alcoholics will always have a problem with God. They will always have a problem with speaking about God. That's why, although the big book is loaded with all references to God, we never apologize for God. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. Instead, they let him demonstrate in their testimony what he is like and what he's done. At once, we begin to outgrow fear. That's why it says our real reliance must be on God. He will show us how to create the fellowship we crave. That's why the big book talks all about God. All the literature talks about God. And that's why in 90% of the groups that you go to, they say, don't talk about God. You'll kill newcomers. In fact, the reason newcomers die and don't make it past 20 years is because nobody's talking about God. It's all superficial bullshit. You know, so we don't do woke AA here. This is not woke AA. This is for grownups that want to stay sober for a long period of time and are serious. Because if you look at AA from my standpoint, I used to think everybody stayed sober. Between 1 year and 20 years, gazillions of people staying sober. And then you... But I've got to tell you something. When you look between 20 and 40 years, like nobody's sober. Nobody's around. AA's been around for 100 years, almost 100 years, 90-something years. And you start looking at the medallions that are being handed out between 20 years. And I deal with a lot of people. I sponsor a lot of people that have more than 20 years. And I deal with a lot of people that are not happy with their sobriety, even though they're many years sober. So this is about grown-up sobriety. This is about what Bill Wilson said in his essay, The Next Frontier. This is about emotional sobriety. And that's what we deal with here. So great to have you here. I am the guy that your AA parents warned you about. I'm killing newcomers right and left, you know, by talking about God and everything like that. So I'm just putting that warning out. It's if you want to go ahead and drink and tell your sponsor it's Russell's fault, go ahead and do it. I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me at all. Because he mentioned God or talked about the Lord or whatever the heck you want to say. If you want to drink and you're fine, listen, I don't need an excuse for drinking. Being awake was good enough for me. So here we go. I'm going to start reading a bunch of stuff. It's all founders approved stuff, not necessarily conference approved, although it is really conference approved because you can read it in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers if you care to actually investigate this thing further. So you understand exactly what you're about. It said, rarely have we seen a first person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. That was written in 1939. In 1939, a book was written called Alcoholics Anonymous, our basic text. And it said, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And AA started in 1935, big book written in 1939. They had a path. The path is what they did between 1935 and 1939. And we're going to go over something like that. So if you want to know their path, you need to read Dr. Bob in the Good Old Timers. And that'll tell you what they were doing. They were actually doing. You might want to read that. It may surprise you or shock you as to what they were doing in that path versus what is going on right now. In any event, so let's go. And I'm going to start some reading some stuff. And we'll see where it goes. Maybe it'll get you thinking. Okay. I'm going to call this the sting before the medicine. So anybody here ever been vaccinated? Before vaccinations were controversial. Now I'm an old guy. I'm 74 years old. So I was vaccinated as a kid. You remember when you used to go in for vaccinations like they give you penicillin, different types of vaccinations they give you when you were a kid? You remember when they bring out that needle and you know, they were about to put the needle in your arm to give you the vaccination? It was a scary thing, you know. Nobody likes to be vaccinated. I'm a lot better with it right now, I can tell you that. I'm barely concerned about it. But you notice whenever they give you the medicine, whenever they give you the vaccination, you remember whenever they give you the vaccination, no matter how good they are, there's still a little sting. There's a little sting, right? You have like a little sting, a little shot, you know what I mean? Before the medicine comes in. So this is called the sting before the medicine. No sting, no medicine. No sting, no medicine. No repeated trials, no crushing, no medicine. No sting, no medicine. No fear, no medicine. No pain, no medicine. You know, there's got to be a little sting before the medicine. So let's start reading, and we'll go from there, and then we'll have like a little, and we'll start hearing from everybody. Okay. First, this is from Dr. Bob, and hopefully I'll be reading some stuff that you've never heard before. You never heard in any AA meetings before, but it may be interesting to you. You sort of put this stuff together. This is like a milkshake. Hey, this is like, what's that movie? Pulp Fiction. Anybody ever see Pulp Fiction? You know how it like starts in the middle and then goes backwards and forwards, and somehow you got to put the whole thing together. You're going to have to work at this. You're going to have to put it all together. If there's 67 people at this meeting, well, probably maybe a little more, 68, 69, you know. But in any event, there's probably 69 ears and brains. You're getting something different out of this thing, depending upon your experience and all that sort of stuff. So it's like 69 different milkshakes going out there. We're going to add a little. It's going to be filled up with a little first step. There's going to be some third steps in there. There's going to be some. We're going to put a pinch of sixth step and seventh step in there. Okay, so here we go. This is, let's do some readings, okay? But there's going to be a theme. There is a pattern here. Let's see. Hey, you guys, alcoholics, I think, like riddles. Riddles are cool. So there's like a little riddle buried in here. Somewhere in here, there's a riddle. You may not even see it now. Maybe you'll see it a month from now. Okay, this is Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. See if you can see a pattern here, okay? A pattern, a theme. A main point, a central fact, something like that. There is no record of what happened at the first meeting of AA, except for a grapevine account years later, noting that it was led by Dr. Bob, who put his foot on the rung of a dining room chair, identified himself as an alcoholic, and began reading Sermon on the Mount. That's from Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, which, by the way, that book is conference approved, just in case you're worried about that stuff, you know? That's like a conference approved. Now, that's a conference approved book, you understand? And that was part of their path. You see, their path, well, I'll let you figure out what their path was, but at least in the first meeting, what he did was he read Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 of the Holy Bible. Okay, that's where it's found. So anybody who says that they don't read the Holy Bible or that's not part of AA actually doesn't know what they're talking about. You know, they're just basically saying they don't like it and they don't want to do it. And they're closed-minded. You know, it's as simple as that. Okay, let's keep on going. I just sort of threw that in there just to piss somebody off, you know. I throw in these little things just to bother you. Because if I get to bother you, then what happens, if I get you really pissed off, then what happens is when you leave the meeting, you're thinking about me. You're pissed off about me. You're mad at me. A week down the road, you're saying, I can't believe that guy said that. And it gives me actually a great amount of pleasure to know that you're still bothered about what I said like 10 days down the road. You know. So if you knew how much pleasure I got from bothering people, you would decide not to be bothered, not just so I wouldn't get the pleasure out of it. So here we go. This is from Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, which is conference approved. Page 96. I put in page number so you can check on me. The book's the founders You remember the founders, Dr. Bob, Bill Wilson? You remember Dr. Bob, the guy they asked, what does first things first mean? And Dr. Bob said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. That guy, you know, the guy who told Bill Wilson, because Bill was a little fuzzy on the God thing. Bill was fuzzy on the God thing. By the way, Bill was not God. I look up to Bill. I love Bill. Bill's an alcoholic. Lord used him in many ways. I look up to Bill Wilson. I'm not putting down Bill Wilson. He was as crazy as I was. He did a lot of great stuff. So did Dr. Bob. But Dr. Bob was the one who looked at Bill Wilson and said, the last words he said, this is just fact. The last words Dr. Bob, who was solid in the faith, said to Bill Wilson was the following. Let's not screw this thing up, Bill. Let's keep it simple. You know, when somebody comes up, here's a hint. When somebody comes up to you and says, let's not screw this thing up. Let's just keep it simple. That's not a form of compliment. You know, they're not complimenting you. I just want to let you know that. When you get approached by your sponsor and says, let's not screw it up. Just keep it simple. He's not complimenting you on your intelligence. The books the founders said were absolutely essential. Now, if you have a chance, I want you to look up the word essential in Webster's dictionary or any dictionary you want to use. You know, look up the word essential. So the books the founders said were essential. Now, I believe what the word essential means, and I'm a wordsmith, I'm an attorney. I believe the word essential means essential. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. But these books, by the way, these books, according to the founders, were absolutely essential. Now, I have no idea what absolutely essential is. It seems sort of redundant to me. But apparently, these were the books that were absolutely essential. The books the founders said were absolutely essential were 1 Corinthians 13, Sermon on the Mount, and the book of James. But don't worry about a thing, because you will never hear talk about those books or give any quotes from those books in Alcoholics Anonymous, even though they were absolutely essential. And the whole thing is about rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. So don't worry, you'll never hear anybody screw up your deal by talking about the actual path in AA, because, you know, that upsets people. And God only knows if you're an alcoholic, you're a please love me-aholic, you're a please don't think badly of me-aholic, you're a codependent, you worry about what other people think about you while you're telling yourself you don't care what other people think about you. So you'll never hear anything in Alcoholics Anonymous that will hurt your feelings. It'll allow you to keep on staying a child. You know, that's all. And you can just make believe you're doing this thing. It's good at that. AA is good at that. There is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. We already went over that. Okay. This is from Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. I love this book. If somebody's really serious, they need to read this book. Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers. Dr. Bob was always positive about his faith, Clarence said. If someone asked him a question about the program, his usual response was, what does it say in the good book? What does it say in the Bible? Because apparently nobody explained to Dr. Bob that he was killing newcomers. Nobody explained to Dr. Bob that he was killing newcomers by reading scripture. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, in order to go to a meeting for the first 4 years, you had to get down on your knees and give your life to God, you know, in front of everybody in AA. It wasn't just picking up a medallion, picking up a white chip. These days, you pick up a, but you know, you can't, they'll even say from the, I've even seen this from the podium. If you're embarrassed or you're ashamed of picking up the chip, we'll put it over here and you can come back at 3 o'clock in the morning where nobody will see you and you can pick it up. You can do that. You know, talk about killing newcomers. Make sure, absolutely make sure a newcomer never has to in any way humble himself in front of anybody, because, you know, you want him to keep his ego, right? Or I should say lack of that. Dr. Bob was always positive about his faith, Clarence said. If someone asked him the question about the program, his usual response was, what does it say in the Bible? Suppose he was asked, what's all this first things first? Dr. Bob would be ready with an appropriate quotation, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Page 141, Dr. Bob, the good old timers. So you can call up New York and let them know that there's some guy named Russell down here that's killing newcomers by quoting conference approved material. Okay, you make sure you let them know that. Give them my telephone number. When we developed Stillmore, we discovered that the best possible source of emotional stability, underline the word stability, to be stable, is God himself. As a matter of fact, later on in the 12 and 12, it says, real independence is total dependence upon God. In the big book, it says something like, if you want to be rocketed in the fourth, if you want to leave the not drinking club and be rocketed in the fourth dimension of existence, of which you had not even dreamed, you know, and no heaven and no peace, it says the great fact is this and nothing less, that God has to become the central fact of your life. How do you know when God is the central fact in your life? Well, if something's so important, it's the central fact in your life, I guess you want to talk about him and think about him all the time. I guess you're talking about him all the time. I guess you don't worry about what people think about you. I guess, like it says in the big book, if you truly are sold out to God and you truly make him the central fact, I guess you never apologize for believing in God. I guess all men of faith have courage. They trust their God. I guess you basically become one of those people that are sold out to God and you don't worry about what everybody else thinks about you in AA. Can you imagine that, being worried about what some guy or gal thinks about you in AA who's not even paying your Visa bill? Like, God, what a horrible life that is. I used to live that life where you walk around worrying about what other people are thinking about you. We found that dependence upon his perfect justice, forgiveness, and love was healthy, and that would work where nothing else failed. Anybody see a pattern? There's a pattern here. There's a pattern forming here. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. This is the sixth step. The step that separates the men from the boys. So declares a well-loved clergyman. Clergyman? I thought religion is bad. I thought it's bad. Don't they say in AA? Don't they say, what is saying in AA? Oh, I know the line. I'm spiritual, not religious. They quote, what is that thing they like to quote? What's that prayer they like to quote? I forgot it now.
St. Francis.
Oh, they love to quote St. Francis. That means be like St. Francis. Be like St. Francis. They quote St. Francis talking love or be loved, to understand rather than be understood. You know, they talk, they love to quote and be like St. Francis. Yeah, guess what, guys? Don't expect to be like St. Francis unless you're going to decide to follow St. Francis or be like St. Francis. Because you're not, in order to get the things that most people will never get in AA, you got to be prepared to do the things that most people will never do. And if you're worried about what other people think about you, by the way, this, your life, this ain't a dress rehearsal. This is the real thing. This is the step that separates the men from the boys. So declares a well-loved clergyman who happens to be one of AA's greatest friends. He goes on to explain that any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to repeatedly try step six on all his faults without any reservations whatsoever has indeed come a long way spiritually and is therefore entitled to be called a man or a woman, here you go, sincerely trying to grow in the image and likeness of his creator. And by the way, it is kind of difficult to grow in the image and likeness of your creator if you don't know who your creator is. So I guess the real question is, do you believe in God or do you believe God? Do you believe in God or do you believe God? Most people, when you ask them, do you believe in God, they'll say yes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I would have said that the first 10 years. Yeah, I believe in God. I say this running prayer. I say all that stuff. And what I'm really saying is I believe in the concept of God. I believe there is a God somewhere out there, and it's easy to be vague. It's easy to have a vague. You can have a vague God for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But I want to tell you something. When the cancer comes, when the terminal cancer comes, when the people start dying a vague God ain't going to be good enough. When the worldly clamors come, when that good-looking gal, that good-looking guy, when that money comes, when the job comes, when the worldly stuff comes, let me tell you something, that vague God, that sort of concept of God, is going to fly out the window. And you're going to use the God of your understanding, which is no God at all. So when I ask somebody, do you believe in God? And they say, yes. I say, well, do you believe God? And then they look at me and this is what they say. I don't understand what you're talking about. I said, well, you said you believe in God, right? He says, yeah. So do you believe God? He says, I don't understand. What do you mean, do I believe in God? I mean, do you believe God? And I said, he says, I don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean? I said, the reason you don't understand what I'm talking about is because you don't have a God. The reason why you're baffled is because you don't have a God. You believe in the concept of God, but you don't have a relationship with a God. In your mind, it's fuzzy. In other words, the whole point of the big book is to try to grow in the image and likeness of your creator and try to improve your conscious contact, your conscious contact with God. God should be as real to you as the people on Zoom right now. Should be as real to you as my voice. That's how it really should be. How else are you going to make them the central fact? Well, that's exactly what this book is all about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power. Did you know that's what the big book is all about? Its main object. Wait a second. What happened? Well, that's exactly what this book is all about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. It means, of course, underscore the words, of course, because nobody told these guys that they were killing newcomers. Did anybody tell these guys that they were killing newcomers by putting that in there? Okay. And it means, of course, that we are going to talk about God. Oh, my God. Well, somebody should have told them that newcomers are going to die by the trillions because of that line. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics, basically most people. Here's where the difficulty arises. And that's this lack of anchorage to any permanent values, this blindness to the true purpose of our lives, produce another bad result. Man, I'll tell you, if you don't understand your purpose in life, by the time you're 30 years old, you're going to be neurotic. And I was one neurotic son of a gun when I came dead. You know, for just so long as we were convinced that we could live exclusively by our own individual strength and intelligence, for just that long was a working faith in a higher power impossible. This was true even when we believed that God existed. We could actually have earnest religious beliefs, which remain barren because we're still trying to play God ourselves. Now, that's an interesting concept. What does that mean? You know, it's interesting to understand what that means. But in order to understand what that means, you have to understand the concept of lordship, which maybe we'll get into. You got to understand the concept. You know, that's the interesting thing is when you come to a paragraph like this and you throw it away because you really don't understand it. So you don't think it's that important because all you're listening to is the don't drink and go to meetings bunch. This was true even when we believed God existed. We could actually have earnest religious beliefs and remain barren because we're still trying to play God ourselves. And that has to do with whether or not God, you really have a God, you know who God is, and he's the central fact. Because if God is not the central fact of your life and you don't know who God is, the bottom line is without knowing it, you'll be playing God yourself. You'll start thinking that God is just good orderly direction or do the next right thing or all that stuff. And who decides what's the next right thing? And who decides what's good orderly direction? Well, you do that. And who better to do that? Who knows you better than you? And besides, you know, God is basically who I decide God's going to be. Isn't that what the whole thing's about? Whoever I make him up to be. So if God allows me to cheat on my wife, then that's the God that I'm going to use. And God doesn't mind if I do this or that. So I'm gonna always sort of tend to choose a God that doesn't make me feel guilty. I'm gonna choose a God that just lets me do whatever the hell I want to do without feeling guilty, because a good God wouldn't make you feel guilty. A good God wouldn't hurt your feelings. You know, just like a good sponsor will never hurt your feelings. It'll always say, oh, don't drink, go to meetings. Never say anything that would really, you know, confront you. As long as we place self-reliance first, the genuine reliance upon a higher power is out of the question. That basic ingredient of all humility, a desire to seek and do God's will, was missing. For us, the process of gaining a new perspective was unbelievably painful. And if you don't understand what that's all about, just hang in there for a little while. It'll make sense to you in a little while. Because alcohol is just an interesting concept. That we're like a self-cleaning oven. Every once in a while, the alcohol comes in, wipes out all the bullshit, let me see, or the alcoholism. God is everything or he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What is your choice to be? He's everything or he's nothing. He's everything or he's nothing. Everything or nothing. There is no middle of the road solution. Everything or nothing. Half measures avail us nothing. Everything or nothing. Underline the word nothing. In the early days, she recalled, here we go, here's Bill. Here's Bill in the early days. In the early days, she recalled, this is Henrietta Sodling, by the way. Bill said to me, Henrietta, I don't think we should talk so much about religion or God. Do you ever have anybody come up to you and say, don't talk so much about God, you're killing newcomers? You know, keep the God thing down the down low. You know, you can talk about anything else, talk about your problems, but don't be talking about the God thing too much, you're pissing off people. You ever have anybody say that? So that's an alcoholic thing, because they don't want to really talk about the thing that upsets them. They just want to feel good. Bill said to me, Henrietta, I don't think we should talk so much about religion or God. Hey, that could be at any AA meeting that we go to today, right? I said to him, well, we're not out to please the alcoholics. They have been pleasing themselves all these years. We are out to please God. And if you don't talk about what God does and your faith and your guidance, then you might as well be the Rotary Club or something like that, because God is your only source of power. Finally, he agreed. So, you know, I think when you grow up in here, you start talking like Henrietta Sodling. What do you think? I don't know. I could be wrong. Let's go. It's only, okay, here we go. Here's the next one. It was only, this is Bill Wilson. Now this, I'm going to tackle this one, and I want to point something out to you. Just for not talking about God. They love to use this as an excuse for not talking about God, and that's why a lot of people drink before they're 20 years sober. It was only a matter of being willing to believe, because Bill Wilson, like every alcoholic, didn't like the idea of God. Didn't like the idea of God. So this is what happened. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself, not even God, just a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning, Underline the word beginning. Nobody understands the word beginning. Look it up in this dictionary. I saw that growth could start from that point. Underlying growth. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. What he saw in his friend was Ebbie Thatcher saying, I got religion. Okay? Thus, I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. For a brief moment. That could be a week, that could be 5 years, that could be 10 years, a brief moment can be 20 years, but for a brief moment, but then something happens. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the romance, the money, the things of value, the job. You know, everything around me, the things I have, the things I don't have, the things I want, the things I need, my weight, vanity, stuff of vanity, were blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself, because drinking is only a symptom of the disease. The real disease centers in your mind, not your body, and this is the real disease you have even when you stop drinking. It's all about materialism and material things. So any alcoholic who says to himself, tells himself, you know, because we're delusional, I'm spiritual, not religious, doesn't understand what's really going on here. People love to say that you're spiritual. Put your hand on my desk. I'm going to hit it with a ball peen and hammer. We're going to see how spiritual you are. This world will always have the power to overpower you. No matter how long you're sober, there will be stuff coming up in this world which will have the ability to overpower your spirituality. And that's why you're all, that's why we have thumb-sucking crybabies. That's why we're worried all the time. So how do you stop that? And so it had been ever since, how blind I had been. That's Bill's story, by the way, which I believe is conference approved. I think it's conference approved. I'm not sure. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's Proverbs, one of the wisdom books in the Bible. The fear of the law, fear of the law is the what? Is the what? Beginning of wisdom. People are, well, I don't think it's the beginning. You know why people come today and pick up white chips? Because they're scared. You know why people do anything in AA? Because they're scared. You know why people turn to God in AA and stop the bullshit? Because they're scared. That's why they do it. The fear of the Lord, you know? In the Bible, I like one of the lines they said, a light has come into the world. A light has come into the world, and men ran away from the light because their deeds were evil. You know why people, they were scared of God. They're scared that they're going to have to stop doing what they're doing. They're scared that everybody's going to find out. They're scared about a whole bunch of things. Some people turn back again. This is the how and why of it. First of all, by the way, there's a pattern here. Have you guys seen a pattern yet? Have you noticed the pattern? Well, we'll talk about that. I want to know whether anybody's noticed the pattern here. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that here and after in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. There he is again. It's like these guys are like obsessed. They're like obsessed, the founders. God was going to be our director. They're killing newcomers. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple. Well, it's supposed to be a simple idea. How come nobody in AA gets it? Most good idea. Oh, I know why they don't get it, because alcoholics don't like people telling them what to do. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch for which we passed the freedom. It's the whole thing. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer with a capital E, a new God. We had God being all powerful. There he is. There is one who has all power, you know, not your sponsor. Your sponsor may be given a little power to turn up, to put you in the right direction, but, you know, being all powerful, God provides what we need if we keep close to him and perform his work well. How are you going to know who he is? How are you going to keep close to him if you don't know who he is? How are you going to perform his work when you don't know what he wants? You know, you're sort of guessing. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who approaches him must believe that he exists, that he really exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trial. Oh, by the way, this is the book of James. This is one of the books that the founder said were absolutely essential to achieve true sobriety. So you might want, if you're interested in achieving true sobriety and becoming one of the men or women, instead of the boys or girls, you might want to listen to this deal, because this is what the stuff they were reading. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Every time you're crushed, every time you hear something you don't like, every time something happens bad in your life, that can be God trying to put you in a position or allowing you to be in a position where you can grow the hell up and become a mature individual if you look at it the right way. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hey, you don't have to like this. This is what they were reading. This is what they found absolutely essential. If any of you like, I know you like to say, well, you got your program, I got my program. No, this is the program. You don't like this, you're working some program. but it ain't Alcoholics Anonymous. It ain't the program they were working. This was the absolutely essential stuff. This is the stuff that is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. If any of you likes wisdom, you should ask God. Now, you're going to like this one. You're going to like this one. This is where they got the stuff out of the big book. You're going to see some words in here. This is big book words. If any of you lacks wisdom, anybody here, you ever get confused in your life? You ever get overwhelmed in your life? You ever sit around saying you question yourself? You second guess yourself? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Now, that's the good part. Here's the bad part. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. You must actually believe in God. You must actually have a God and believe in God, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything. Half measures avail you nothing. We got to get rid of our old ideas, and the result is nil. That's where this all comes from. I mean, you think Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob like made up the big book. It all comes from scripture. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And that's like 90% of the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. Not sure of themselves, double-minded, uncertain in all they do, tossed from side to side by whatever happens in the world. Just completely befuddled because of worldly clamors. Okay, now here's a little something from the Bible. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? This is about complaining. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So you want to have 20, 30, 40 years sobriety and still be absolutely not crazy and in love with this thing and excited about sharing it and excited about your life and not dwelling in your problems? You want to read Isaiah. It's trying to tell you something. They're trying to tell you something. You need to somehow get your life together. Still, you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. So God will, there he is again. God, there he is again, that guy that you can't talk about or you kill newcomers. God will determine that. So you must remember that your real reliance is always about him. But whatever you do, don't talk about him in the AA meetings. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Yeah, let's talk about, I'll tell you, we're going to talk about relationships. But if you talk about relationships in AA, you're talking about romance. That's what they want to talk about. They want to talk about romance and sex and stuff like that. And how to get along with the opposite sex or whatever. You cannot love God and mammon, material things. When I was a child, I talked like a child. Oh, by the way, this comes out of 1 Corinthians 13, one of the books they found absolutely essential in their path. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So at some point in time, you got to grow up. I sponsor a lot of 60-year-olds who are like 15 years old. They're still 15. He that heareth these things and doeth them is like unto a man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Founded upon a rock. That's Sermon on the Mount. And if you want to look for that in the big book, look for the part right before the sixth step when they say we go to a quiet place and we start determining, is the cement form, is the cement, they're talking about faith, strong? And do we have, is the foundation, the rock secure? What are you basing your life upon? Is it your job? Is it your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God remains forever. And that's why in AA meetings, you never hear about God. All you hear about is people complaining about the stuff in this world, because all they're focused upon is the stuff of this world. They're not focused upon God, because if you talk about God, you're going to be killing newcomers. Okay, so that's it. That's it. That's enough. That's enough. Hopefully I've pissed off a few people or get people think. Okay, so here's the question, okay? So anybody see a pattern there? Anybody see a pattern that applies to your life? Anybody sees a pattern that maybe you can see some there saying, well, maybe that's why I'm having problems. Maybe that's why things are getting better for me or getting worse for me. You see anything in that stuff and all those readings, which is all AA and conference approved, that may give you an answer as to how you can move forward in your life, how you can get more stability, how you can feel better about stuff and help people and everything. And if you figured out some, try to say, you know, you don't need a long time, a minute or two or something like that. What is it about what they're talking about is something that is really essential to the whole deal that maybe is a deficiency in your life, or maybe a deficiency in the meetings you're going to, because the man or woman you'll wind up to be in the next 5 years will depend upon the people you hang out with and the books you read, and the books we read will depend upon the people you hang out with. So if you hang out with people that are talking about the stuff of this world and telling you not to think so much about God, or you got your God, if you hang out with people that are not giving you direction, you know, you understand what I'm saying? You're going to continue to be like them. You know, so, you know, think about it and let's hear about your life and what you think about it. And that's the deal, guys. So we got 72 people here. We're going to try to, it's 11 o'clock. We're going to try to go for about an hour and a half. So everybody's got a minute or two to talk.